welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robert Daly, host of the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that's just begun celebrating 20 years of advocating for integrative medicine as a far better way to meet the many needs of those with cancer in body, mind and spirit. Today, the show is going to be focusing on the role of exercise in health and particularly, of course, in cancer. Exercise appears to have come from left field just a few years ago and to have turned the ideas about how to physically care for those with cancer on their head. But of course, the backstory is of a long lead-in, fueled by a few dedicated scientists and practitioners. And one of those is Dr. Stephanie Otto from Alm University Comprehensive Cancer Center in Germany, who specializes in exercise oncology, a term that I've never heard before and possibly not in use here in the UK at all, but sounds like one to adopt. Hey Stephanie, welcome to the Yes to Life show.
Hi Robin, thank you very much. Nice to meet you and thanks very much for the invitation to talk today and to have some conversation.
Absolutely, my pleasure. After connecting with you recently, I'm excited to meet you and to hear more about your lifelong interest in exercise and oncology. I think we're talking something like 30 years, is that right, or more?
Yeah, that's right. I'm working in the exercise oncology field since 1990, so it's 35 years now.
35, wow.
It's quite a long time I'm in that field, that's right.
It wasn't even really a field back then, was it? I mean, there must have only been you doing it. It just wasn't even a discipline then, was it?
You mean the beginning, the very
yes,
beginning?
Yes, in the 1990s,
oh,
who knew
yeah.
about exercise and oncology?
Yeah, that was strange because, of course, also my work as a sports scientist, it's a very new field in medicine, and we're just developing many things. And in the 1990s, it wasn't developed anything.
We no.
started just with exercising, and I started work with cancer patients in a rehabilitation clinic, and that was a big center with patients. It was an in-house rehabilitation, so they stayed for 4 up to 6 weeks in the center. And I did my diploma as well. That was a second study with cancer patients in Germany. And what did we do? We just did movements and gymnastics, and we tried to have better outcomes on the range of motion, for example. That have been, I think, 80-90% that have been breast cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And they have been done with that treatment. So that was finished. And we did some recreational therapies. We did a lot outside. We did a lot of hiking, biking as well, mountain biking, skiing, walking. Later, we started with Nordic walking, with this stick walking. And also, we did a lot in the swimming pool. We had a wonderful swimming pool, and we exercised a lot in the water. Water therapy was amazing, especially for breast cancer patients.
Brilliant.
So many people asked us, what are you doing there?
Yes.
It's dangerous. Don't move when you are sick and when you're suffering from cancer. You should rest. Why do you exercise? And we said, okay, what are you doing over there, guys? You medical doctors, you are treating them not much better with the chemotherapy or with radiation therapy. And that was quite different from nowadays. The cancer patient looked very strange. They had black breast, they looked like had been at the butcher's, not at the theater before. So that was a strange situation. And we said, what else? Whatever are you doing with the patients? That's not better. And nobody could say we probably could develop metastasis by doing exercise and sports.
Yes, that was the worry, wasn't it?
Yes, they have been very afraid that we could do anything harm to the patients. But at the end, they saw they have been improving and they have been getting better from day to day. And when they left the hospital or the rehabilitation center, they gained so much energy. They felt so well. And that was for them, of course, a very big gain in quality of life again. They felt like, oh, I'm still a human being.
Right. Amazing. Well, you know, as you say, the sort of doctrine previously was that you're supposed to keep quite still in bed and just not do a damn thing. It was all too dangerous to move at all. So I'm kind of interested how anybody got the idea in the first place that that was not the right thing and that it would be good to start moving. Do you know who was the real pioneer who brought that idea in?
Yeah, I think who talked at first or who was the one who thought at first about exercise with cancer patients, that's a very long time ago.
Right.
We all don't know about it. I read about there was an Indian, probably a medical doctor of the Ayurvedan medicine, and he was living around 600 years before Jesus Christ's birth. And he was talking about let the people with such cancer, or I don't know if he talked about the real cancer illness, but he mentioned let they do exercise to get better, to feel better, and not to get boring. And that I thought that so funny.
Wow.
And at the end, it is what it is. It is pushing your mind to anything else, to be in another situation and environment, to gain energy and to forget about the disease.
Right.
And that was the first one who mentioned exercise might be good.
Right.
And later there have been some more. Of course, Hippocrates, a big philosopher from Greece, he was also talking a lot about exercise and to give people only good nutrition, only good food is not enough. They have to move, to do exercise and for a better feeling and a better constitution and performance. And then later there have been some observations in from the military doctors and also from the big nurses' health study. They found out that people who moved a bit more, also concerning their employment, probably the ones who delivered some parcels or whatever, these ones who are delivering the post, they have been quite much in a better situation. They have been much more strong.
Yeah.
So they thought about that might be a reason for it. And then from these epidemiological studies, it was developing further, and my first advisor, the rehabilitation director of the center, he was very convinced, and he was very innovative in his thinking. And
he must have been.
Yeah, in 1990, we had the psycho-oncologist already in the rehabilitation center. Yeah, that's quite a long time ago. And we had a social care, we had the nurses specialized, and with, me as a sports scientist and also a physiotherapist, and later we started to add some more therapists like dancing and more different moving from the Asian part like Tai Chi Chuan or Qigong. That was not... I think it was the middle of the 1990s.
Then.
And also music therapy, dancing therapy, art therapy. We did a lot in this field, and that was very, very good to get the patients much more energy and much more comfort and much more quality of life. And we did also some studies over there and some observations, of course. And but the field developed differently. The rehabilitation, this insurance, which paid for this rehabilitation for the patients, they got more structured from year to year. At first, they didn't say anything what we have to do with the patients. So we just went out and moved a lot. But later on, they wanted us to have a structure, gymnastics and all that things. And that was, destroyed some very good treatments, because we didn't have the time anymore to do that, what we have been convinced about, that help of patients.
So, I mean, you're seriously into the science of exercise and cancer. Lots of publications that have your name to them. I'm kind of interested in the direction of that science, what your key findings, if you like, of that period, what you feel you've contributed to the science of exercise and cancer.
Yeah, that's right. So my first study was just to show that we could improve quality of life, like most of the studies in the early 2000s. We had a lot of exercise oncology studies with the outcome of the quality of life and feasibility. Of course, that was also my finding. We had improvements in quality of life and also in the range of motion, because we did a special treatment with the physiotherapists and all together with these recreational therapies to improve that in 4 weeks in this in-house setting. That was the first study, and it was also to with the goal to refer them back to work. That was a back-to-work concept as well. And that's very important still. Yeah. And we still don't have the best concepts, but we have some good ones in Germany to let the patients start slowly, little by little, to get back to work. But it's not solved everything, because it's not in all environments so easy to get them back. But that's only one part. In exercise oncology science, I did some more research also concerning BRCA mutation carriers, for example. That's the breast cancer gene, a very, very big gene, which is a tumor suppressor gene, which is mutated in some humans. And it can lead to breast cancer, but also in men, they can be affected as well. If they have BRCA 1 or 2 mutation, they can get colorectal cancer, or at the end, prostate cancer. There are some different cancers as well. And so that's not a very big group, but if they are affected, they have a very high risk to get cancer, like Angelina Jolie. She had, we remember her, a very high risk to get breast cancer. So in this phase, many women still think about to get the bilateral mastectomy of both breasts. And that's a big suffering, of course. So I was thinking about what can we do by exercising, by doing training, and especially high-intensity training. Do we have an effect on the systemic part of the body, not only to have them good on mind and improvement in quality of life? So that, of course, was a second outcome as well.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Measured, we did some measurements, including muscle biopsies before and after a six-week treatment. We had three times a week, we had endurance training and two times strength training. And they had to do high-intensity interval trainings with 80% of the highest volume. And at the end, we had improvements on the protein level of the tumor suppressor gene of this BRCA1 gene. And that was really amazing because it was a small group. It was a pilot trial with 16 patients, and it was a randomized controlled trial. We had some patients who had to be dropouts concerning some upcoming problems, but at the end, we could show in this very small group a high significant difference between or impact on this BRCA1 gene function. So if the protein is upregulated after the training, the function of the protein is better. So the tumor suppressor function was improved in this group after the six-week training. So that's amazing to see, and of course, also these very personal stories around a man, for example, never exercised in his life, and he was just working on a building site, and he improved so much that he could sleep at the end. He never could sleep all night long. He woke up several times, and he had so many problems to sleep well. But after this treatment, he could sleep without any breaks or stops, and that was perfect for him. Much more quality of life at
the end. Absolutely, yeah. Because it would make a massive difference to your quality of life.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And your overall health, of course.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And we also did some more studies, exercising, also high-intensity training during chemotherapy. So that was a prehab trial with most of them breast cancer patients, had also similar outcomes. We had outcomes on anti-inflammatory cells, for example, and also raw scavengers and all these antioxidantic improvements. And at the end, we had, of course, improvements in quality of life. But in the follow-up study, we found out it was not that what we would have liked to see, that they attend over a long period to that training. They didn't. They fell down again. They lost some of their performance again after 1 year. So it's very important to have, I think, for the cancer patients, to get them treatments over longer periods and always to recheck them again. You can't just leave them alone. They need regular consultations, and they need check-ins and also checks on their body, on their performance, like you can do it with the gold standard VO2 max, but that's not always possible, and that costs a lot. You can do that also with very simple measurement methods, assessment tools like hand grip springs, for example, or stand-up tests. That's very easy to measure, but it should be implemented in the regular medical checkups. That's my very one of my biggest goals, that the cancer patient get a regular checkup, like a medical checkup, together with this performance checkup, let's call it that way. And also to avoid, for example, sarcopenia. Many cancer patients are suffering from sarcopenia, or at the end, cachexia. That's a very, very big problem. And they can't bear the chemotherapy or radiation therapy. They get fatigued, but not only fatigued, and bad quality of life. They have really, hard. They suffer a lot from this inflammation, from less muscle mass, and at the end, from less muscle function. And you need the muscle function, and the muscle is like a pharmacy, I always say. It's our VIP organ in the body, like fascia as well. And these organs are completely underestimated because they have so much power. They have a pharmacy with so many functions. If you contract a muscle, it releases so many cells, immune cells, and anti-inflammatory cells, and all these processes which the body needs to be well, to be balanced in homeostasis.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, and I miss all these measurements and functions and prehabilitation tools to avoid that the patients decline by the therapy. So we always wait until it's worse.
Too late, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're talking about preventing these bad side effects, yeah. That's very interesting. I've never heard anybody speak about muscle or think about it that way. It's obviously, it's your subject, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. I love investigating muscles and their function. Of course, we have this body composition part, how much muscle mass do we have? But we know nowadays It's not only to have a big muscle mass. You also, and that's the outcome of the recent outcomes of the sarcopenia group. There is a group, meanwhile, a group of the all over the world. They met and found out that muscle function is the most important thing. And but who looks after that? In old people, in the elderly, in the patients with chronic diseases like cancer or several other diseases. So it's very important to look and to find out where's the problem before they get worse in such situations where you can't help them anymore. If the patient is already suffering from cachexia, it's such an inflammatory environment, you almost can't help them anymore. So we have to prevent that. Prevention is the key. Education, the next key. Prevention, education. In all levels, between all groups, the stakeholders, also all health professionals, also the patients, the relatives, the caregivers, in all fields, and also the politicians, because they don't even know how important it is to improve knowledge at the end, to improve educational standards, and to get standards for diagnostics, for treatment, and to implement these standards in regular therapy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I say it's kind of a new angle on things for me. So I was thinking that with exercise, I mean, one of the things that's very clear is just how broad the range of effects it has, positive effects.
Then from it.
You know, on the immunity, on inflammation, toxicity, your outlook, your mood, you know, all sorts of things. Your muscles, of course. And I was kind of interesting. Is there anything known about directly how exercise can affect cancer itself or tumors?
Yeah, that's a quite good question. And it's very difficult to talk about that topic. We have some signs of that. There are several animal studies, of course, some rodent studies or mice studies, and there are some signs that it might be due to exercise. We have an improvement in animal studies, we can see that there is an improvement in the natural killer cells, for example, which attack the cancer cells and also viruses and some other cells. And they get bigger, they get, the quantity and the quality of the cells rise and improves, but it's not all shown in humans. Yeah, there are some small studies, and we really need big studies, and that's on my heart to find out that much more about that.
Right.
This basic science to find out how do the immune cells function? What can we do to have a better function, to prevent cancer, but also at the end to treat cancer.
Right.
And one of my fields, which I like very, very much, is the fascia field. Fascia is a connective tissue in the body, and also it's very much underestimated. For me, it's a communicator in the body, because everything runs over this connective tissue. Every cell in the body is covered with a connective tissue, and it's like if you cut an orange in the middle and you look into this orange, you see so many parts are covered with this kind of skin, if you have a piece of chicken meat, for example, and you lift this white skin, that's fascia, that's this connective tissue. And we need this connective tissue to transport information, for example. It's connected with the neurologic system. It's connected with the blood system, with the muscle, with the tendons, with the bones, everywhere, with the organs at the end. So it's all one system, and it has a very important role in the body, which is too much underestimated. And I would say we can treat, and I would, you know, I am convinced if we treat the environment of, probably tissue which is almost getting worse, probably which is almost a tumor is developing, I can imagine that we can have some influence on this microenvironment of the tumor. But how can you show that? It's not so easy.
No.
You can't just say that. We need a lot of investigations, a lot of studies in that. But we know, what we know already is that the environment of a tumor is stiffness. It's very stiff tissue. For example, a liver tumor is very hard, like a stone.
Okay.
Yeah, this is blocked. That's blocked tissue. That's not elastic, like usually a tissue is elastic and it's sliding, it's moving very well, all these layers of the tissue that are different layers. You have the superficial tissue with some fat, the fat under the skin, and then you have step by step, layer by layer, and go into the deeper fascia of the muscle, for example. And all these layers should move well, but in the surrounding environment of the tumor, nothing is moving well anymore. It's all blocked. It's like it's hard. It's not elastic anymore and not moving anymore. So no information can go into and out of this region anymore. So you have not this anti-inflammatory response, and all this toxicity can rise, and you have the problem with hypoxia, and that's all this developing in the worst.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Are you thinking that exercise is a means of kind of loosening all of this tightness, this stiffness up? And bringing life to the area?
Yes, at the end, it's exercise which works well in the fascial tissue, in this connective tissue. And we need a good tissue to, at the end, if we are want to be good in performance and also in sports, we need a good tissue. These elite sportsmen, for example, they can only give their best when the function of the fascia is well. And ask all these elite sports men, they will tell you the same. And so it needs a good function to develop energy and a good performance. But at the end, it's also very important for all these mechanisms behind this immune function and this anti-inflammatory function, and also the metabolism in the body needs to have a very good function of the fascia and the muscles and all these environments to have a homeostatic situation. And if that's not functioning, you overload the stress axis as well. You have the environment of the tissue, which is misfunctioning. You also might get some mitochondria problems. The mitochondrial function might get worse. So you have not a good transport of oxygen. And you also might have a problem with the HPA axis, the stress axis is overloaded. You don't have any heart rate variability due to the misregulation between the sympathicus and the parasympathicus. So the autonomic nervous system isn't functioning anymore. And that's because the vagus nerve isn't functioning anymore. The vagus nerve, the tense nerve of the brain, the most important one because it's the biggest one and it's connected to the whole body and all organs. If it's not working out well, you can see it, you don't have any heart rate variability. And if you don't have the heart rate variability, the body is lacking of its own, I would say, of its own help. There's no balance, no homeostasis as well. And you have more inflammation, higher inflammation. And it has also been shown in cancer patients. For example, patients in leukemia, which get stem cell transplantations. There is a study which could show that these patients, which are suffering a lot after stem cell transplantation, allogeneic transplantation, when they have probably a lot of complications after the transplantation, and also probably get the GVHD, this graft versus host disease, where they don't accept the donor cells. That might be the reason before that they didn't have any heart rate variability from the beginning, from their diagnosis. And I rechecked all my patients, which had a very had many complications later on in their survivorship or in the palliation situation. And I rechecked their echocardiography, and I found out that most of them, 90% of them, didn't have any heart rate variability as a sign that their vagus nerve function wasn't well, that their autonomous nervous system didn't function well. And so there's a misregulation as well. And I have some cases which are treated with fascia treatment and vagus nerve stimulation, and they developed from one day to the other, vice versa, in a complete different situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they look like, those sort of treatments? What are you actually doing? I don't know what a vagus nerve stimulation looks like.
Yeah, what's a vagus nerve? How can you treat it?
Yeah.
So can you do some boxing to hit it? No, it's really amazing. It's so easy that you can't imagine that that will help this system, the most important system or functioning for the vagus nerve to stimulate it, is to breathe well. It's only breathing. For example, this box breathing is very common. It's like you breathe in, you just count until four, you breathe in, you hold the breath until four again, you exhale until four, hold again four, inhale four, hold four, exhale four, hold four. So like in box. And this breathing method is very well to get balanced. That's one part. You can do a lot of breathing techniques. You can do yoga. You can do all these mind-body therapies, massage therapies, stretching, yoga, Tai Chi Chuan, Qigong, all these mind-body muscle-releasing techniques or, anti-stress treatments. And also you can make use of your voice. If you do singing, for example, or like you take some water in your neck and you gargle, it's a very good thing because the vagus nerve is running through your neck.
Right.
And you can do eye movements. A lot of eye movements stimulate the vagus nerve.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also treat with some techniques which I make use of for the superficial fascia. I have some that are so-called cuppings.
Yes.
It's a cupping method with, you put it on and develop a vacuum, and then you treat the body and you go along the muscles over the body. And I do it in the front and the side part because there the vagus nerve is running. And to release the muscle tone and to have a better fascia function, I do some massage techniques as well. And then the function is better, the vagus nerve works better, and immediately it shows a different situation for the patient. You have very fast response of the body.
Wow.
Yeah.
How amazing. Look, This is the most fascinating talk about exercise. It's gone in directions I never imagined. We've actually used up the time already. It's been so interesting. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I feel like we could talk a lot more. There's plenty of other things I haven't asked you at all, but really interesting. And what a great, you're obviously scraping the surface of a very deep and subtle science, which is destined to help us an awful lot once we understand this stuff properly, it seems. So fantastic. Thank you so much for telling us about it and for all your great work contributing to the area.
Yeah, thank you so much. That would be, we could fill the whole evening, I think, talking about... Of course, I would love to. And it was amazing to talk to you, Robin. It was wonderful to meet. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And you. Bye-bye. The human body is such an incredible thing, isn't it? The more you look, the more you find. It's just so interesting to learn about the complex multiple roles of muscles and fascia. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll want to join me again to meet my guest in next week's Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.